Praise be the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not say by multitude, Lord, whatever two or three are gathered together, that they are in the midst of them. On the day of resurrection, there were two saints going on the way to Emmaus. Yet, Lord, you preached the old Bible to them. Bible is a beginning from Moses and through all the prophets. You may know to these people all the things which were written concerning you. Lord, so we do not come by number. So we thank you because you are already blessing us, Lord. Anointed songs of praise. And we believe the word of God, you have inhabited this glorious place this morning. And we give you honor and praise and glory in the almighty name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We believe angels are ascending and descending right here in this place. We are called into the innumerable company of angels. The Bible says they are all ministering spirits sent to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. Even if the angel of the Lord himself encamping around us, we are secure in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All we can give to you is to give you praise and thanksgiving.
Amen.
Blessed be the glorious name, Lord. Lord, bless us in the reading of your word this morning. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So this morning, you know, there are two advents of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one is already passed. Another advent will come. You notice in the Bible that each of these advents are attended by celestial events. So this morning, celestial signs attend the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin, so many celestial signs took place some years before the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those signs culminated in the appearing of a supernatural star, normally called the Star of Bethlehem, about two years before he was actually born. Now, one of the most beautiful prophecies in the Bible depicted our Lord, at the star out of Jacob. Unfortunately, the one who did that, one of the most beautiful prophecies, won't go his line, he just backslided and so forth because of, disobedience and so forth. Anyway, we won't talk about that, but just the Holy Ghost gave through him, that's a very, very good example for us to be very careful when we are walking with the Lord, to fix our eyes on the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at one of the most beautiful prophecies, Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth, it says in the prophecy and so forth. I mean, every Bible scholar believes that referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know that. So now, talking about celestial signs, so the Holy Ghost in there, that is the Lord Jesus Christ coming and so forth. Now, like I said, all the celestial signs, before his birth, accumulated in the Star of Bethlehem. Matthew 2:1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, star of Jacob. We have seen his star in the east, and they are come to worship him. Verse 9 says, when they had heard, of course, Herod the king, tell them, where he should be born, I come and worship him too anyway. Verse 9 says, when they had, meaning the wise men, the magi, we call them, I had a king Herod, his lies to come and worship the king anyway. They departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So from these verses, we see that we can draw some inevitable conclusions about this star and what really took place. The wise men saw the star two different times, you know, in that journey. Number one, as the Bible said, they saw it in the east. Number two, they saw the star again as they left Jerusalem to Bethlehem, as the prophets have revealed, or the temple told them that to be in Bethlehem and so forth. Two times they saw the star and so on. The star actually moved its position. We saw it in that two verses that we read. As the wise men traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, Bible says, till that star came and stood over where the young child was. So, there must be a supernatural, an intelligence behind those stars. That's not an ordinary star. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The star of prophecy and so forth and that, you know. So there was some intelligence behind that, you know, that star of Bethlehem and so on. It was evidently a supernatural star. It took more than a mere star to announce the incarnation, you see. Like an ordinary star, it took more than that. It was God himself in the star of Bethlehem that did that. Don't forget on times, like in Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. So he revealed himself coming in Christ in that star of Bethlehem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. So now, there's also the day star of prophecy, talking of celestial events, you know, before the first advent and so forth. There are another thing, but we're told in 2 Peter 1:19, you know, this is different, just to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereupon you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is still reference to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he himself said, as he closed the book of Revelation 22:16, as he closes the book and so forth, I, Jesus, I have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright star and the morning star. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said throughout the Bible, you know, I asked the Jews, you know, who do you think, you know, Christ is and so on? Oh, we say the son of David. Well, if he's the son of David, how come that David at one time say, you know, he called him Lord. If he is his son, he praised the Lord. He is the root and the offspring of David. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. Praise the Lord. He is the Almighty God coming to redeem his people. So anyway, so let us look at some notable celestial signs that precede that first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in history they recorded them. The Bible says some of them just, you know, read the exact prophecy to you and so on. In 134 BC, a nova, or a supernova, was observed, whereby a star suddenly appeared where none had been seen before. It was so bright, and it was visible with the naked eye. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what happened in 134 BC. Historians recorded it. Earlier observers, astronomy, and so forth, recorded it. You know, a nova is like a star just, you know, collapse and so forth, and a new star just rushed out of it. So there came this star out of nowhere, and so where it had not been before, and it was recorded in history. Events, celestial events, that is before the coming, the first advent. In 44 BC, a brilliant comet was seen shortly after the Ides of March, when Julius Caesar was assassinated. They wanted to corrupt that comet and so apply it to the. They say maybe Julius Caesar and so on. We don't, but that had nothing to do with him at all. Anyway, that's in 44 BC, right? A very, very brilliant comet that even Israel could not miss it and things like that, you know. As we near the coming, the birth of Christ, 12 BC, Halley's comet appeared. It was described in detail by Chinese astronomers, you know. That is all these celestial signs, right? Some of them, not all of them, that took place. Talking about celestial signs, attend the advent of Christ, both the first advent, and of course the Bible gives many celestial events that will precede the second advent and so forth. Now, in 7 BC, you know, that is like about 3 years before the birth of Christ. 7 BC. Astronomical calculations show that there was a conjunction of Saturn, Jupiter, and Venus. And, you know, about 7 BC, that's about 3 years before the birth of Christ. If we know that his birth was 4 BC, we explained that during the Christmas holiday and so on. Why is it 4 BC? You see? So we know that. Anyway, so at that time, these three planets came so close together, they practically appear as one, just 3 years before the birth of Christ. And some corrupt people thought that was the Star of Bethlehem. That couldn't be, so we already explained that before. Conjunctions only last a few days, right? Mm-hmm. So, but this one has been, for 2 years, the white man led the white man, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, so we see all those things, celestial events, before the fourth advent and so on, and that, you know. Now, prior to the visible coming, so the scriptures, so that's just few of the many celestial events that occur before the fourth advent. The scriptures gave many celestial signs that will precede the second advent, meaning in the age we are living in right now. And that has to be the scripture, right? The only thing that can do that is the scripture, the word of God. This Bible is a book of prophecy, and it's a book of history, book of prophecy, and so on. Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19 says, praise the Lord. So let's take a look at some of these things that the Bible foretold. So prior to the visible coming of Christ, we all know what that means by now. So that is a visible coming to the world of the Christ, right? We know that. So anyway, but not many people know that, but the bride knows what we are talking about, right? Prior to the visible coming of Christ, there will be a quiet but very profound event. What was it? Christ calling up out of this world to heaven is bride. What do we mean by that? Those of his saints who have been waiting for his return and are ready to meet him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? That qualification there, yeah. Those who have been waiting for his return and are ready. Some are very looking, they are not ready. So anyway, so that's why very, very important. So on. Revelation 4:1, let's see this. In Revelation 4:1, talking about this calling off, quiet but a powerful, profound event, the rapture. Revelation 4:1. After this, after the church age, right? This. And I behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the fourth voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. See, Christ calling up the bride, right? Come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Verse 2 says, and immediately to show you, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That fortifies anybody that said there are three gods, right? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So which of them is sitting on the throne? There are three of them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
One and only one. That's only one God. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I and my Father, we are one. That has seen me, has seen the Father. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we see that one there. There are, let's read about two or more scriptures about the rapture and so forth, the Bible, at the matter of two or three witnesses and so on, that, Revelation 12, are the first few verses in there, 1, 2, and 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We all know that is the church, representing the church, both the New Testament church and also even Israel, the Bible, that can be compound prophecies in the Bible and so forth. They can mean more than one or two things at the same time and so on. Anyway, verse two. And being with child, crying, traveling in birth, and pain to be delivered. John to verse 5. That the church traveling, we are in that mood right now, John to verse 5. And she, meaning the church, brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All the scripture agree. Caught up, right? He caught up the bride, Come up either. Caught us up. at that appointed time. They won't know nothing about it, or they will see. So anyway, so we see right here. Now, another one, scripture about that rapture, that's being caught up, and so on. Quiet event, but yet, very, very profound, the rapture. First, Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. You see, caught up everywhere, right? Together, he caught us up, right? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. A quiet event, yet very, very profound. All the world we've been seeing that, many, many people are missing and so on. So the quietness of this event, in the rapture, the translation, of the bride of Christ, will be akin to the translation of Enoch, in Genesis 5:14, actually 5:24, and also named in Hebrews 11:5. I know people in the congregation, they are familiar with these scriptures, so we just keep on going there. Genesis 5:24 and Hebrews 11:5. Talking about Enoch being translated and so forth, Bible says he walked with God and he was not found. Before his translation, he had his testimony that he walked with God. Praise the Lord. See? So he was cut off right there, translated and so forth. So quiet event, right? You see? And of course, the going up of Elijah in the chariot of fire. That is in 2 Kings 2:11 for reference. Bible says why they still work together with Elisha. They appear horses of fire and so forth. Elijah went to heaven in the whirlwind. Praise the Lord. How many people know about this? The son of the prophet, they have an idea, but not many people, right? Silent event, right? Very, very, very profound. So I'm saying that the rapture will be quiet like that. So the quietness of both events is implied by the fact that the search parties are appointed to search for each of these people, meaning Enoch and Elijah, did not find them. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Search parties will doubtless be set up everywhere in this world for the missing saints at rapture time. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Quiet, but very, very profound and so on like that. So we see that right here. Where, on the other hand, the visible coming of Christ, the second advent, right? Instead of being quiet, will be preceded by celestial events, the like of which the world has never seen before. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun. See, it won't be quiet. Signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves running. That's happening already right now. Those perplexity already in the world. Look at it for yourself. Perplexity is all over the place and so on like that, Men's heart, telling them for fear, but I'm going to zero in on the celestial, right? And which he already said, signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars, right? So that's our subject this morning, celestial events, Men's heart, telling them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the path of the of heaven, he says, shall be shaken. Celestial events preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 27th verse says, and then shall they see the Son of Man, you see, after all the celestial display of power and so on, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So following the rapture, there will be the great tribulation. Let us just go back to the rapture again a little bit. To see the order of events in a nutshell. Following the rapture will be the great tribulation. I'm going to read the Bible about that. Everything we say, we want to be sure that we are in line with the scripture. Praise the Lord. So there will come the time when the great tribulation, which occur, we believe shortly after the translation of the saints, begin to wind down. And the sign of the beast will be nearing its end. That time will come. Until that time, events have continued somewhat after the natural order of things, with the exception of that rapture, which is supernatural, right? So, which no doubt, that rapture has been, Know that we are, we attempt, people will attempt to explain it away, right? Like they did that of Elijah and Enoch. Praise the Lord. They will try to explain the rapture away. What it won't buy them any good at all, you know, just wasting their time and so instead of to repent. So there have been no supernatural intervention, you know, so to say, or manifestation until, you know, until after the end of the, near the end of the, you know, the Antichrist reign and so on, or any divine intervention, of the, you know, intervention in the elements, which could not be explained, due to natural causes. But, supernatural events are now about to occur shortly after that reign of the Antichrist and so forth. So you are getting ready, what are you ready for supernatural events, which will astonish the servants and the learned alike, and which cannot be attributed to any natural order. You know, there are the visible coming of Christ. So, these are the visible coming of Christ and the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Those the awesome display of God's power in the heavens and so forth. Matthew 24:29-30, what you're talking about now, the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we have the rapture, the Antichrist finishes his course and so forth. You see the celestial display of God's power and so on. Now, immediately after the tribulation of those days, Bible explaining itself right here, shall the sun be darkened, celestial events, right? And the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the path of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, just like read the book of Gospel of Luke, right, in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and a great glory. The Lord repeated the same thing in Revelation 1:7 when he appeared to Apostle John, the Isle of Patmos. Revelation 1:7, Apostle Paul, Apostle John said, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, he said, sorry, 1:7 of Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds, he says, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the heart shall wear the cause of him. Even so, the Bible says, amen. Praise the Lord. Just as he said in Matthew 24 and so on, he repeated the same thing. So at the matter of two, the same witness, you know, like let every truth be established, right? They will all wear before him and so on like that, you know. Now, Revelation 6:12, you know, address the same thing. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black. Celestial events, right? You know, celestial, you know, events and so on. You know, preceding the second advent, right? And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. All the scriptures just agree to the same thing. See? Verse 13 says, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. That's the 14th verse. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I mean, celestial events, I have never seen the history of the world before and so forth, between the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the old prophet didn't even they didn't miss it either. Joel, you know, the Jewish prophet in Joel 2:30-31, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. All over the Bible, even the Old Testament prophet said the same thing. And the moon into blood, celestial events preceding, the second advent, right? Before the greater and terrible day of the Lord come, it says, Isaiah won't miss it either in many places. Isaiah 13:9-10. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both, with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof, out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The same prophet tried the Bible. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine. As I see prophesying 34 of Isaiah, the fourth verse. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth from the vine, and as falling fig from the fig tree, he says. So we can keep on going on these celestial events that tend to the great and terrible day of the Lord, preceding the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us clarify something here. If you want to talk about science of today, where we talk about the calculation going to fall down, that are billions of miles away from here, where we can say this way, God can do what he wants to do anyway. We need probably refer to the constellation, he's not talking about the constellation and the heavenly stars, you know, which are far, far billions of miles away and so on. We always say here, the nearest star to us, is the Alpha Centauri, right? That's four light years away from here. So, you know, we believe that he's talking about meteors and shooting stars like never before. You know, what we think he's talking about here. You know, the prophets and so forth, they don't know anything about meteors, they just call them stars, you know. Well, it could be literal things too, but we will lean into what the fact that he's talking about the atmosphere of the earth, right, that receive this judgment, you know. It won't be coming from those billions and trillions of years celestial bodies out there, we think. Where is God? Could do anything he wants. So, to show us an example, there have been some terrifying star showers in history, you know, such as that which occurred in 1833, right? They were all running at a scatter, you know, darkness cover. They couldn't even see themselves. Star showers during the day and so forth. The church bell rang, they were all repenting and so on, thinking that the end of the world has come upon them, right? So the next day, when things clear off, went to their bath drinking again, they forgot all their pledges before human nature, right? Praise the Lord. So that's just a token that God allowed to happen in history. And that is even nothing to be compared with what happened in that thing that the Bible described with coming in the future and so forth. Now, so we just see now, in a nutshell, succinctly, you know, showing the celestial event that will precede the second advent and so forth. Now, let us see what, you know, to now see that, look, things can happen anytime. You know, let us see what is happening right now in this year. So, this year, they have identified 12 celestial events, you know, that will occur in this year alone. Well, some of them happen from time to time, but each time they happen, is to remind us believers, you know, that look, the coming of the Lord, verse 9. The astronomers, the stargazers, they think they are being entertained, right? You know, they portend some omens, you know, of judgment, that will happen unto this world. So even let me begin from last year, December 19, 2025, a rare interstellar visitor came to our solar system. Very rare indeed. So it's a 7-mile wide comet, reached its closest point to Earth on December 19, 2025, passing around 170 million miles from us. That is still very near, you know, when you're talking about astronomical measurements, right? 170 million is nothing, miles, it's nothing, compared with the expanse of space and so on like that, you know. Anyway, it came around 170 million miles to us. That's near, you know, in terms of astronomy, really, you know, and distances. So, now, to show you the significance, it is the third known interstellar object in the history to pass through our solar system. So, that comet came from out of our solar system. That's what is called interstellar, right? It came out of another solar system, not our own, and came around us. It was a comet. How it escaped, you know, our sun and didn't get destroyed, is in the hand of the Creator. You see, we don't know why. Anyway, but it came. And to show you the importance, it is the third of such interstellar, object, or comet to ever come in our solar system as far as man is concerned and measuring time. It is the third one. You know what number three means? We are not putting anything to this one. They are talking of celestial events, right? So number three could be the completion, right? Who knows? That will be the last interstellar comet to enter our planetary system before the coming of the Lord. That's an opinion, will not tie anything to anything. Number three means completion in the way. So let's see that one right there. But it happened last year, the third ever in the history of the world that they have known and so on. Interstellar comet. Enter December 19th. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, okay, let us keep on going. Let's now begin to enter this year, see what is ahead, you know. You see, how do they know this thing? Because the heavens are so created and they are working in precision. Praise the Lord. That's the only way they know it. Praise the Lord. So I know just like the earth goes, goes around the sun once in every 365 days and so on, that, you know. So everything is in utmost precision. That's how they know this thing. So this year we'll be witnessing many celestial phenomena, including major eclipses, brilliant supermoons, and lineup of five or more planets this year. Let's go through some of them and so forth. You know, where if the unlearned people of this world, unlearned meaning spiritually and so on, to entertain themselves know these things, how by the share of God, and much more so the Lord that the science, right? In the that's our concern, not entertainment and so on. That, you know, we are looking for something. The thing the Lord told us that we perceive is coming. That's what we are talking about. Why we are interested in them, really, you know. January 3, of course, this year, a supermoon took place. If you watch the news, it's even the news. A supermoon appeared near Jupiter on January 3 this year. So a supermoon on the 3rd of January kicked off the plethora of celestial events of the year. A supermoon, what is a supermoon? A supermoon is when a full moon occurs near the moon's closest point to Earth. They call it perigee. Don't worry about that. You know how the Earth moves around this, the moon moves around this, around the Earth, right? So it's in its orbit is not perfectly circular. It's so therefore, it's a different distance from the Earth in its orbit and so forth. So when it is in the closest point in that orbit to the Earth, and it's a full moon, then you call it a supermoon. You see, two events happen. It's closer to the Earth in its orbit, and it's a full moon. Then you have a supermoon. That's why they call it a supermoon and all that, you know. So it happens. So we have the first one, January 3 this year, even the news carried out and so on like that, you know. So, and around that time, usually, it will be about, the moon will look like about 40% bigger when it happens, because it's the nearest point to Earth at that point, right? And it will be brighter, about 30% brighter than normal when it happens and so on. Well, normally it occurs several times a year, really. And, so there are two more to come this year. One will come in November and the last one in December. You know, our interest is science in the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? That's our concern. Just to keep us awake, so that's what we are doing. January 10 this year, which is yesterday, right? You know, Jupiter reached opposition yesterday, January the 10th. What do you mean by that? It means the point when the Earth lies right between Jupiter and the Sun. It's stuck in the middle of them for that moment and so on. That, I call it opposition, Jupiter reached opposition, right? So the Earth is right between the Sun and Jupiter. This alignment brought Jupiter closer to the Earth than it's been since December of last year. So it appears slightly brighter and larger than usual. It won't get this bold again until 2027. You see, that occurrence of Jupiter's in opposition, it won't occur again until 2027. So let's move on. Talking about 12 celestial events that are notable this year and so on. Late February, there will be a planetary lineup, alignment, as we call it, alignment and so on, in late February. The last week of February brings to the evening sky, a sixth planet alignment, Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Neptune, Jupiter, and Venus will be in alignment late February this year and so forth. You know, remember all those things, when planets align. If you remember that summer, praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. When planets align, so it's lining up again, you know. So let's keep on going, March 3. Total lunar eclipse will occur in March, you know, 3. So early on the morning of the 3rd of March this year, a total lunar eclipse will paint the moon in airy orange hues. It's known as a blood moon. See? It will be visible across much of North and South America, the Pacific, and a large part of Asia and Oceania. Observers are in the western US and Canada, the Pacific Islands, and New Zealand will have the best view with an uninterrupted start to finish view of this total lunar eclipse and so forth, you know. So, and there will also be a partial lunar eclipse in August this year. So just, you know, line up all these signs, the sun and the moon and so on. It's involving the sun, right? That's our interest, the sun, the moon and so on. The Lord says so. That's our interest. That's why we, you know, to keep our eye on the coming of the Lord. That is in March 3, right? Come March 20, maybe March 2021, we say, you have what they call the spring equinox. And what will happen that time? An above average aurora, or call it northern light. Let me explain that to you if you don't know what the auroras are. So the spring equinox occurs about the 21st of March here in the northern hemisphere. And there are two of them. And another one will occur in September 22nd. So what is an equinox really? Let me explain that one to us and so forth. Equinoxes are the days when the sun is exactly above the Earth's equator. That makes the day and the night to be of equal length. So equinox. That sign was coined by Italian astronomer. You know, so equi means equal, right? Nox, nine. So equal night and day. That's what it means, equinox. If I've been hearing that one, you know, in day-to-day, astronomical, what and so on that, you know. So, on the 21st of March, you had the spring equinox. Like I said, there are two of them, you know, in a year. So, yesterday, March 21, second one, September, 22, you know, it happened and so on. So, the equinoxes are often produced, powerful auroras displays. They call them the northern lights. Let me explain what an aurora is. Aurora is a natural light display in Earth's polar sky, in the polar area of the Earth and so on. It's caused when charged particles from the sun collide with gases in the Earth's upper atmosphere, producing glowing curtains of color. So you have this, charged, you know, particles. The sun is emitting it all the time and so on. That, you know. Now, at equinox, you see that the sun is right on the equator of the Earth, so it exposes most of the Earth's surface, you know, so the sun and so forth. When those particles hit the gaseous in the Earth's atmosphere, they flourish. You have walls. People go to Alaska all the time and see the auroras, you know. But in this month, they are so visible and so on in many parts of northern parts of the United States and so on. So it happens all the time. Why is the sun doing that anyway? It has been sign in the sun, right? Mm-hmm. In the moon, praise the Lord. That's our concern, you know. Why? I think we did that forever. We don't know. But why is the sun emitting those particles, charged particles that call this wall of light, you know, and that peak around this time of the year. Now, move to June 8th. So we see what we do that here. They're just wall of light. They're just wall. That's like wall pouring down, you know. When those particles from the sun, charged particles, particles from the sun, strike the gaseous around the polar area of the Earth, and you see this wall of fire coming down. People travel to Alaska, they go and see them and so forth. Celestial events, right, this year. In June 8th to 9th, Venus, Jupiter, Mercury will conjunct again. That will be June 8th to 9th. There is a conjunction of Venus and Jupiter, June 8 to 9. The pairing remains striking for days. You can see them days and so on like that, you know, afterward. And Mercury and a crescent moon will join them on June 17th. You don't have to memorize all of these things. Our concern is always here, you know, celestial signs, right? You know, coming this year and so forth. August 7th, what happened? Moon will cause clear this, right? What do you mean by that? Well, after midnight on August 7th, the rising crescent moon, you know, right, that day, begins to pass in front of the Pleiades star cluster. We talk about that a lot here, the Pleiades and so forth, like that, you know. We know there are seven most bright stars in there. They even call them the seven sisters, you know. There are about, if you have a telescope, there are probably about over 250 stars in the Pleiades, you know. But you can see about seven of them with your naked eyes and so on. Very beautiful cluster and so on like that, you know. So, on August 7th, so one by one, the brightest star in the Pleiades will disappear behind the moon, you see, before reemerging again, closer to the breaking of day and so on. So they reappear around 1 hour before sunset and so forth. So this star, goblin spectacle, meaning those bright stars, you know, they begin to disappear, you know, as the moon passes through the, you know, the face of the Pleiades, and they begin to disappear behind the moon, and they reappear again. See, celestial events, you know, why they are doing that, I don't know. Signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, right? So they appear. So, and like I said, this star goblin spectacle, known as occultation, you call it, appears throughout much, you know, of the contiguous U.S. to happen. You can see it right there if you have your telescope and things like that, you know. So some of the things we are talking about, the Bible talks about them in Job 9:9. You know, we're not just talking something, just astronomy, talking about Bible. Job 9:9, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Even the ancients know about these constellations, right? Even Job again, 38:31 of Job, God began to query Job. Canst thou bring, bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, or, you know, lose the bands of Orion, which we try to talk about many times here and so on. You know, put that in to see that even the ancients, as far back as the beginning of time, they are interested in the heavens, you know, because they know what it means, the fourth Bible, really, you know, if people want to believe that, you know, but we believe. Anyway, let's move on for the celestial events of the year. August 12th, total solar eclipse will take place, you know. The part of totality, meaning the part where people in that area will see the total eclipse, will cross portions of the Arctic Ocean, Eastern Greenland. See, Greenland is in the news right now, praise the Lord. There's coming a total lunar eclipse around that area in August, praise the Lord. I don't tie to anything, but Greenland is in the news. U.S. is saying that the president is going to get it either by east or by fall. That's what he's saying as of yesterday. See, the total eclipse crossing that area in August this year and so on. Again, we don't tie it to anything. We're just talking about events as they are unfolding. So it will cross through Eastern Greenland and Western Iceland and so on like that, you know, Portugal and so on. Now, another thing is this. It will be the mainland Europe's first total solar eclipse since 1999. So, you know, not all the world see the total eclipse all at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. As far as mainland Europe is concerned, it will be the first one that they will see since 1999. See? Celestial event. One of these things, when they happen, you don't know until the things have really passed. Then you come and look back. Like in the days in the pyramid, praise the Lord. You won't know what it is until the days have passed. Oh, that is what that date meant in the pyramid and so on. The same thing with the heaven. On there, God is given by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now, let's move on. The rest of the year, celestial events and so forth. August 12 to 13th, what you call a passive meteor shower, you know, we peak around August 12 to 13th of this year. So now let me say a little bit about that, you know. The comet, there's a comet called Sweet Turtle. And which orbits the sun. It orbits the sun about every 133 years. You know our Earth orbits the sun once in every 365 days, right? This comet orbits the sun once every 133 years. That is its period, you know, 133 years and so on. And it's the parent body of the, what you call the passive meteor shower, you know, all those, you know, pouring shower for the atmosphere and some of that, you know. So passive meteor shower, they peak around August this year and some of that, you know. What happened? The Earth passes through the comet's debris. You know, they discovered the first debris in the heavens, and when the Earth now crossed this debris, you see these things like falling stars, right? Shower coming down and so on. That is what is really happening and so on. So it picks up in. They call this sweet turtle, comet, because these are the name of the people that found that comet back in 1618 or something like that. It's where, I don't know whether it's a German astronomer and so on. Then we put here just some things, knowledge that we know from day to day events and so on. We are also allowed to understand what is happening. No, after all, the Bible is the first science book there is at all. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's see now. So let's move on now. So actually, those meteors will actually begin to come around July 14 to September. You know, but they peak on August 10 to 30. Means they have more of these meteors falling in the 9th of August 12 to 13. The thing is that if you want to see them, you have to be awake around midnight and later. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's when you can see them if you want to wake up. That's not necessarily. Again, our own thing is that just watching and praying, right? Now we move to November 25. A supermoon comes in again. So this year's second supermoon rises on November 25. It hits a peak illumination on Thanksgiving Eve of this year. So, as before, the view gets extra dramatic around moonrise, which coincides with which concludes, you know, around sunset and so on. So anyway, there's going to be another supermoon on Thanksgiving Eve this year. Now we move towards the end of the year, December 23, and you have the closest supermoon of 2026 will occur on December 23. So the closest and the largest appearing supermoon of the year arrived on December 23, just days before the holidays. They call it different, you know, people call it different names. I'm not even worried about that. So, it will look especially dramatic as it rises in the early evening of that day and so on. Then, late December, you have another planetary alignment. The year finishes much as it began, right? With an exceptional alignment of planets in the night sky. What do we have this time? Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, and Venus. We appear together around 10 p.m. local time with a bright moon traveling between them as the holiday week begins to unfold in December and so forth. Just like at the events happen at the beginning, so again, we're going to have planetary alignment. So again, these things mean something. People don't always know what it is all about. Our own concern, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, right? See, that's our own concern. The alignment will last through the end of the year, but December 25 and 26 will be especially striking when you can see them properly, if you want to see them. So that's just the event of this year. A plethora of celestial events, you know. We mention those from the Bible, you know, that we believe the second advent of the Lord. Then we take the time we are in now this year and begin to see the events, celestial events of the year. And you can see that who knows, one of those signs. We don't know, you know. And so let us finish up with this. Back to Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So how the Bible says, verse 27 says in Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man in the cloud with power and great glory. We are talking of celestial events we precede the second advent, right? That's not the rapture. That has since taken place, right? You know, these are events of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and so on that, you know, and the elect don't go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. Not even the tribulation thing. We go through the great and terrible day of the Lord. Not even that. See? They go through the great tribulation, but not the great and terrible day of the Lord. So, and 38 of Luke 21. And then, you know, why were I even reading this? Why were I looking at this? And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head for your redemption, dress 9. That is our point, you know, you see. Not just for entertainment and some of that, you know. 32nd verse says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. You know, we were in a place, and we were just witnessing to a couple and so on like that, you know, a couple of days ago. And the Bible opened up, talking about the Bible, talking about the coming of the Lord. And I say this generation, I mentioned this scripture as I was just talking. Then one of them said, well, it could be 1,000 years away. I don't know, it could be tomorrow too. Praise the Lord. That is the thought of the... You know the parable, you know, of the evil servant, right? My master, the elect is coming, right? That's why many people to go and see. It could be 1,000 years, but the elect watch daily. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, that is the difference. That's made the difference. They're not too knowledgeable about the Bible and so on, but then they are great Christians and so on. But, you know, that elect could be 1,000. I got to explain to him. Well, they could say that many, many years ago, not when we have Israel come back to it. You know, it's land again, 1948. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord said that generation will not pass away until all these things come to pass. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So only the elect can believe that. Other will be thinking it could be 1,000 years from now. That's why Bible there'll be a cut on our way, right? That lady of 1,000 years. When the Lord says the day and the hour, you don't know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's how it's a witness to people, you know, when you have the opportunity and so on. They are genuine Christians and so on. You see? So, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that is the third verse of Luke 21. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth, the Lord said, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That is the sixth verse. Watch ye therefore now and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. He is warning the true church that before the great tribulation and the event, Lord, come and so on, you watch and pray to escape all of them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God that it's an escape. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Right, there was one person, one righteous person, and only it's to the escape, the destruction of the world that was. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because they walk with the Lord. He not walk with God, right? He spent time with God. And he listened to the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord, and he was taken. Praise the Lord. And we are at that time now, finishing up here. So this morning, just, you know, we just see how celestial events precede the first advent. And they are terrible, and, you know, celestial events occur, you know, just before the second advent. So this morning, whatever we need, the Lord is always at hand to supply. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:19, see? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Mark 10:27. And Jesus looking upon him said, with God, and he said to you and me today, all things are possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. With God, nothing shall be impossible. No matter what it is, God, Jesus said nothing shall be impossible, right? We just live by that. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Praise the Lord. The word and the thing, they will tell you otherwise. But whose report will you believe? Amen? We believe the Lord's report. Who has believed our report? Also, who is the hand of the Lord revealed? Amen? We are believers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Nobody that is believing is left out, really, you know. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, I don't care what mountain it is, it could be literal mountain, if need be, remove hence to yonder place, and ye shall remove, watch this place now, and nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, shall be impossible unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to grow up unto it. God has said it. He has already said you, heaven and earth shall pass away. It's what will not pass away. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32, talking about God providing our needs. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. Just like our salvation, we don't even work for it, you know, by grace. And we say through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, right? Lest anybody should boast, right? So are the things of God. They are gift to us. We don't have to believe. Last scripture here is Matthew 7:7. And I like this one. Well, I like all the scripture. Ask, it shall be given you without faith. Praise the Lord. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are not children of the night, that the day should come upon us when we are. We are children of the day. Bible says, shall I hide? What shall he do for Abraham? He spoke to him mouth to mouth, and mouth to mouth, and so forth. And he called a friend of God. He says to us too, ye are my friends, sir, if you keep my commandments and the things I have spoken unto you. So thank you, Father, for making us to know to understand these things, Lord. To others, to the world, they are imparable. To us, no, you have opened them unto us. And we thank you because you care for us. This morning as we go, washing and praying. Not to take the word of the Lord, for granted, Lord. No, because to us, it can come any day. So Father, we thank you. Help us to keep our prayer life up constantly. Like the woman in Luke 2, oh Lord God, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, praying constantly, never even leave the temple, fasting and so forth, waiting for the first advent, and she was rewarded. Even so, let us be, Lord, watching and praying. And we thank the Bible to say, casting all our care upon you. We should be carefree, not careless now, but we should be carefree, meaning casting all our care upon you. We know assuredly because you care for us. So much care that you even number the very hairs of our head. Lord, we thank you, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for blessing us in the reading of your word, refreshing our mind. Romans 12, we should help refresh our mind in the name of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for your promise to continue to bless us and to supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the new week. So we go forth with the promise of God in the name of the Lord. Lord, the good shepherd is with us, making us to lie down in green pastures in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to walk beside the sea water, yeah, the word is running and so forth, but he told us in John 14, peace I leave with you, he says, my peace I give unto you. This have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. So Lord, so that's our position, and we claim by faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, O Lord God, to continue to let our light shine, that others may see and glorify your name. And Father, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.